ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ नमो
Chapter 5, Lord Shukadev's teachings. Text number 2. Mahatsevam, Mahatsevam Dvaram Ahu Vimukte.
Mahatsevam Dvaram Ahu Vimukte.
Tamo Dvaram Yoshitam Sangi Sangam.
Tamo Dvaram Yoshitam Sangi Sangam.
Mahantaste Samachitta Prashanta.
Mahantaste Samachitta Prashanta.
Vimanyava Surita Sadavoye. Mahatsevam Vara Mahur Vimukte.
Mahatsevam Vara Mahur Vimukte.
Samodvaram Yoshitam Sangi Sangam.
Samodvaram Yoshitam Sangi Sangam.
Mahantaste Samachitta Prashanta.
Mahantaste Samachitta Prashanta.
Vimanya Vasulita Sadagoye. Mahatsevam Vara Mahur Vimukte.
Mahatsevam Vara Mahur Vimukte.
Tamodvaram Yoshitam Sangi Sangam.
Tamodvaram Yoshitam Sangi Sangam.
Mahantaste Samachitta. Sorry. Mahantaste Samachitta Prasanta.
Mahantaste Samachitta Prasanta.
Vimanyava Surida Sadavoye.
Vimanyava Surida Sadavoye.
Tamahadvaram,
Tamahadvaram, the way to the dungeon of a dark, hellish condition of life.
The way to the dungeon of a dark, hellish condition of life.
Yoshitam,
Yoshitam,
of women. Sangi,
Sangi,
of associates.
Associates.
Sangam,
Sangam,
association.
Association.
Mahantaha,
Mahantaha,
highly advanced in spiritual understanding.
Highly advanced in spiritual understanding.
Te,
Te,
De,
De.
Samachittaha.
Samachittaha.
Persons who see everyone in a spiritual identity.
Persons who see everyone in a spiritual identity.
Prashantaha.
Prashantaha.
Very peaceful.
Very peaceful.
Situated in Brahman or Bhagavan.
Situated in Brahman or Bhagavan.
Vimanyavaha.
Vimanyavaha.
Without anger.
Without anger.
One must distribute Krishna consciousness to persons who are hostile without becoming angry at them. Prabhupada has this in brackets. Surita, well wishes
of everyone.
Sadhava,
qualified
devotees.
Without abominable behavior.
Ye,
Dehu.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, the A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. One can attain the path of liberation from material bondage only by rendering service to highly advanced spiritual personalities. These personalities are impersonalists and devotees. Whether one wants to merge into the existence, into the Lord's existence, or wants to associate with the personality of Godhead, one should render service to the Mahatmas. For those who are not interested in such activities, who associate with people fond of women and sex, the path to hell is wide open. The Mahatmas are equipoised. They do not see any difference between one living entity and another. They are very peaceful and are fully engaged in devotional service. They are devoid of anger and they work for the benefit of everyone. They do not behave in any abominable way. Such people are known as Mahatmas. Thank you for that. Purport. The human body is just like a junction. One may either take the path of liberation or the path leading to a hellish condition. How one can take these paths is described herein. On the path of liberation, one associates with Mahatmas, and on the path of bondage, one associates with those attached to sense gratification and women. There are two types of Mahatmas, the impersonalist and the devotee. Although the ultimate goal is different, the process of emancipation is all the same. Both want eternal happiness. One seeks happiness in impersonal Brahman, and the other seeks happiness in the association of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As described in the first verse, Brahma Saukhyam. Brahman means spiritual or eternal. Both the impersonalist and the devotee seek eternal blissful life. In any case, it is advised that one become perfect. In the words of Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya 22.87, Asat Sankhya E Vaishnavachar Stri Sangi Eka Sadhu Krishna Bhakta R. To remain unattached to the modes of material nature, one should avoid associating with those who are asat, materialistic. There are two kinds of materialists. One is attached to women and sense gratification, and the other is simply a non-devotee. On the positive side is association with Mahatmas, and on the negative side is the association of non-devotees and women hunters. Omagyanatimandasya gyananjana shalakaya chakshunumnatimana tasmai shri gurave namaha shri krishna chaitanya prabhu nityananda shri advaita gadadhara shri vasudhi gaur bhakta vrinda hare krishna 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 hare 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 rama 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 hare hare. So choose your association wisely. Depending on the association you choose, you're going to get a certain type of result. So even materialists, they say that one should choose one's association carefully, even amongst materialists. If they're to attain a certain kind of goal, then choose to associate with certain kind of people. So association in Krishna consciousness is also very important, because through association, we become who we associate with. So if we with the type of person we associate with, that means the certain modes of nature we come in contact with. And if we associate with someone who is Krishna conscious, then hopefully they are on the transcendental platform or aspiring to be on the transcendental platform. And by that association, one can also make some spiritual advancement towards Krishna consciousness, towards the goal of life. So the human body is is a junction. Prabhupada here compares the human form of life to a junction. So one can, if you go to a junction, there are various paths leading from that junction, or various paths meet at that junction. And then from there, one can choose where they want to go. Like even in this city, there are numerous junctions. I remember when we used to distribute books at Camberwell Junction. There's Riversdale Road coming, Burke Road. What's the other one? There's three. Can't remember. There's another one, Camberwell Road. So there's three roads converging there, and if you're new there, it can be confusing which path to take. So depending which side of the street if you're at the junction, depending where you're facing, you will head in a certain direction. So the human form is like when one comes to a junction, the human form is attained. When we come to the human form, we come to this form after traveling so many species of life, after traveling through so many species of life, traversing them, finally we come to the human form of life. And then the human form is a junction, Prabhupada compares to a junction here, where one has a choice to either stay on the human platform, either go down into the hellish species, into the animal species or below that, or to progress oneself, hopefully to Krishna consciousness, even beyond the higher planets. So we have that choice, and the free will is always there with the living entity. The freedom of choice is always there, and so we have to, the best use of that choice is to engage in Krishna consciousness, is to come to the path of bhakti for the jiva. That is the best use of their choice, when they somehow or the other come to the path of bhakti. And in order to come to that path of bhakti, one has to associate with mahatmas, as it is mentioned here. Without that association with mahatmas, it is not possible to come to the path of liberation. Because the mahatmas, they show us the way to that path. Because in conditioned life, we are blind. Right? There's the blind leading the blind metaphor. We are literally like sheep. And people are, by nature, we are like sheep. And people behave that way. You see that. When the majority does something, or when some are doing, then everyone else will follow that path. So the current at the moment is rampant materialism and sense gratification, and the majority of people have taken that to be the goal of life. And in the previous verse we heard that one who is a materialist person, Lord Rishabhdev is saying that they work very hard day and night simply for sense gratification. So in Kali Yuga, that is very, very prominent. The path of sense gratification is very prominent. And people follow various trends. But we have to come out of that sheepish mentality. Sometimes for devotees who are grihasthas and have a job, it can be very easy to fall into that sheepish mentality of following the karmis of what they are doing in terms of striving for acquisition and various material goals, because we are associating with them so much. So many hours of a day are spent associating with them. So it is very easy to fall into that materialistic trap. But when we associate with mahatmas, then they show us the path to Krishna consciousness. So we have to follow them, become their sheep. you have to be a sheep, then might as well be a sheep of the Mahatmas. Because the end result of that is you want to walk on pitch. Otherwise it's like the head sheep is blind, the materialist is blind, and you follow that, you fall off the cliff. And we fall into Maya, and as a result of that we again fall into the cycle of, or we remain in the cycle of birth and death, not fall into it, remain in it. But when we follow the Mahatmas, then the doors to Prema Bhakti are wide open. So here two types of Mahatmas are described. There is the impersonalist Mahatma and there is the Vaishnava Mahatma. Brahmeti, Paramatmeti, Bhagavaneti, Shabdite, right? So there's three kinds of transcendentalists. There is the Brahmeti, there is the Paramatmeti, and then there's one who is aspiring for Bhagavan, because there is three levels of God realization. So the Brahmavadis are interested in Brahman realization. So they are interested in the effulgence of the Supreme Lord, and they are interested in eternality. They're interested in eternality, and they're also interested in a happiness which is higher than material happiness. And the Vaishnavas are interested in the highest bliss, which comes in from serving the Supreme Lord. So because there's three types of transcendentalists, because there's three types of transcendentalism. So the Vaishnavas, Brahma Shakya, is the highest. That is the highest. It is far higher than the impersonalists, because it is described by Rupa Goswami that the material happiness is insignificant. And higher than material happiness is those who are aspiring for, Brahma Shakya. But their happiness, which is far greater than material happiness, is insignificant when it comes to is insignificant when it comes to the happiness that is derived from devotional service. So the happiness of impersonalists is insignificant. It is like compared to a drop in the ocean. So if you take an ocean is a vast body of water, and then you take a drop is very, very insignificant. So that's what the impersonalist happiness is like. Because the impersonalist platform is more or less a cessation of material happiness. There is no engagement in any positive activity. Whereas the Krishna consciousness is the engagement in positive activity. Because the soul is eternal by nature. We as the Atma are eternal, and therefore we have eternal activities. Whether those activities are displayed in our conditioned form or in our liberated state. So when we are engaged in activities in perfection, those activities, the pleasure through those is far higher than impersonalism, because that is more or less a cessation of material activity, right? So this is quoting an example my spiritual master gives, is a person who is banging their head against a wall. That person is compared to a materialist, because they are trying to gain pleasure out of matter, and gaining pleasure out of matter is like compared to banging your head on the wall. Maybe there might be some initial pleasure, but not much. After some time, it becomes very painful. So then, if they stop banging their head against the wall, That is like, like they've attained to, you can say, Brahman. They're not engaging in any positive activity, Krishna conscious activities. So that is stopping of the banging of the head on the ball. But there's only so much time they can sustain themselves in that position, because we are active by nature. Sooner or later they will want to act. And if they're not in Krishna consciousness, if they don't have any higher understanding, it's just a matter of time they will again engage in materialistic activities, or so to speak, of banging the head on the wall again. So in Krishna consciousness, one is engaged in positive activities. The activities we do in bhakti are our real engagement. These are our real engagement. And these are activities in perfection. So we have activities in sadhana bhakti. These are also activities in perfection, and they lead to prema bhakti, where we continue our activities in perfection in the spiritual world. So the chanting of the holy names, association with devotees, engaging in the angas of bhakti, these are all activities in perfection. So by associating with Mahatmas, as I was speaking earlier, the door to liberation becomes wide open. So here, Lord Rishabhdev has described some of the qualities of a Mahatma. So how does one know one is engaging with a Mahatma? So here some of the characteristics of a Mahatma are described in this verse. The Mahatmas are equipoised, and they don't see any difference between one living entity and another. In the Bhagavad Gita, and Krishna in the 5th chapter, he says, Vidya Vinaya Sampanne Brahmane Gavihastini Shumi Chaya Shubhapecha Pandita Sampanne. So Krishna says, the humble sages, by virtue of true knowledge, see with equal vision a learned and gentle Brahman, a cow, an elephant, and a dog and a dog eater. So a Mahatma sees all living entities equally. That is a characteristic of Mahatma. They do not discriminate between various living entities, whether it's a plant or an insect, or a dog, cat, elephant, or human being, demigod, etc. So they consider all, they see equality amongst all species of life. And that's not very easy to come to that platform. That is universal brotherhood that Prabhupada talks about a lot in his purports and verses. That universal, mankind is, today the politicians are talking about universal brotherhood, they're talking about peace. And I was listening, the current president of the United States was saying that he has achieved so much peace in the world during his tenure. and because of him, peace is prevailing. But that's not peace. He doesn't see people on an equal level, what to speak of other living entities. He doesn't see the equality of all living entities. So politicians are striving for peace. Mankind is striving for peace, but they cannot attain peace unless they see that within all living entities is the spirit soul. That at least on a theoretical level, at least at an intellectual level, they need to start to see the equality of all living entities. And then to come to that realization is another matter. There is a process to be followed. So the peace people are striving for is just a pie in the sky. It's a dream, and it will never be attained. And here it is explained that the Mahatmas are devoid of anger and they are fully engaged in devotional service. So even the impersonalist is engaged in bhakti. Maybe to not the extent what a Vaishnava is, but in their practice there are certain angas of bhakti they might be performing. So if they are worshipping the deities, there might be an aspect of bhakti in it, or the mantras they're chanting, if Om is there. So there is some bhakti also there. But the Mahatma, the Vaishnava Mahatma, they are fully engaged in devotional service. Right? So Mahatmanas Tumam Pavata Daivin Prakriti Mahashrita Bhajanti Ananya Manaso Kyatva Bhutalim Abhayam. That those who are not great souls, they are under the protection of the divine nature. So they are taking shelter of the internal potency of Srimati Radharani. So the Vaishnava Mahatmas, they are fully under the shelter of the internal potency and they are fully engaged in devotional service. Bhajanti Ananya Manaso. They are fully engaged in devotional service. Because they understand Krishna as the original, supreme and inexhaustible. So, if we associate with such Mahatmas, then we can come to this path. And Rupa Goswami, in the Nectar of Instruction, Upadeshamrita, in the fifth verse, he talks about the three kinds of devotees, right? Says Krishneti yasya giritam manasadriyeta dikshasti chet pranati bhischa bhajantam isham shushrushaya bhajana vijnanam ananya anya nindadi shanya hidam ipsita sangha labdhaya. So Rupa Goswami there, he says that there's three kinds of Vaishnavas. There is the Kanishta Adhikari, there is the Madhyam Adhikari, and there is the Uttama Adhikari. So the Kanishta Adhikari is one whose faith is very weak and they lack sufficient knowledge. Their knowledge in the Shastras is also very weak or very less. And as a result of that, they are unable to discern who is a devotee. And because their faith is weak, they think that if I go to a temple, the God is only in a temple. So you hear people saying that. I went to the temple and I saw God. So the Kanishta Adhikari, they say, okay, because God is in the temple, you can only find God in my temple. So whether their temple is a mosque or a church or a mandir, they think you can only find God in my place of worship. And my worship is the supreme, is the best. And if you don't follow my standard of worship, you're in Maya, basically. That's what they're saying. And you'll go to hell, or I'll make you go to hell. So that is a Kanishta Adhikari. And a lot of the wars we see, a lot of the fighting we see amongst religionists is a result of this Kanishta Adhikari mentality. And then those who are not, those who don't follow any form of spirituality or religion, they say, look, religion is the cause of all war. And what they are referring to is this Kanishta mentality, which causes all this strife amongst the spiritualists, and then they take it out amongst the others as well, amongst others. Then there is the Madhyam Adhikari, is someone who because their faith is deeper, and their knowledge is much deeper than the Kanishka, they're able to discern, they're able to make a distinction. Right? So they can tell who is a devotee and who is not a devotee. And even amongst devotees, they're able to identify who is an Uttamadhikari, who is a Madhyam, who is someone more advanced than me, who is someone on the same level as me, and who is somebody less advanced than me. So those who are less advanced, they preach to them. And that's why there's so much emphasis on the preaching, to bring those who are less advanced than us to at least on our level, or maybe even higher, but at least by giving them access to the tools and the process, then they can take themselves on a higher level if they wish to. And they know who is God, they understand the science of God. So they understand God, they understand devotees, they show compassion to those who are ignorant. And what's the fourth one?
Demons, they avoid them.
They avoid the envious and the demons, thank you. So they know who are envious, and they know not to agitate them by preaching to them, because they will commit more offenses. Or if one doesn't have the ability to change their mind, then just leave them alone, because they will just create more disturbance. So yes, we might do preaching programs where, holding preaching programs where everyone is coming. But in those programs, in that forum, the intimate affairs of Krishna are not shared. It is more on a general level. So even if you notice in all the engagements, in the public engagements Prabhupada had, he was speaking mainly on the level of, you know, the body and soul, going into Krishna tattva, but not going into Krishna's intimate affairs. So if you're holding a preaching program, whether it is on social media or it is face to face, for the time being that's on pause. So a lot of that is through digital channels. And there also one is not talking about the intimate affairs. Mm-hmm. One should not talk about some very highly advanced texts. If that forum is an open forum where anyone can log in, right? Or like you say, for example, it's Facebook. That can be done in a closed forum. And then there is the Uttamadhikari. An Uttamadhikari is one who has very, very deep faith, whose faith is very strong, and they are vastly learned in the scriptures. That is an Uttamadhikari. And they are also devoid of the propensity to criticize others, as Rupa Goswami mentions in the Upadeshamrita, in the fifth verse. So they are devoid of that propensity. And so if we associate with these devotees, then the path to rapid advancement is wide open. So that doesn't mean one should avoid the other devotees. One might just think, sometimes devotees think, my guru is the best, and I'll only follow my guru. But in our tradition, it is the spiritual masters. And one can associate with also all types of devotees. And by associating with all types of devotees, we will make advancement. Right? And so association is not that one should only associate with the guru, but also with the with others as well in the movement. One should associate with them in the ways which were just described earlier. So one can associate with all kinds of devotees. And that is important. Otherwise we are isolating ourselves. So it is important to associate, and we are a very social movement. We have noticed it is in a movement we are with various devotees. We are associating with various devotees and we have to learn to work with each other. Because everyone is different from us. And they will do things differently than us. Might not do the same way we do things. So that association with devotees in a healthy manner is very important. In a way that doesn't cause problems, right? In a way that is healthy and conducive to Krishna consciousness, and that doesn't lead to can't think of the word of create strife.
Discord.
Thank you. So therefore, Prabhupada wrote so many books. He translated so many books to give us the opportunity to come to a higher level, to deepen our knowledge in Krishna consciousness. And by deepening our knowledge in Krishna consciousness, we will also deepen our faith in Krishna consciousness. That's why there is so much emphasis on the study of this literature. And that's why there are so many courses available to study this literature in a systematic and structured way to deepen our understanding, which will hopefully lead to the deepening of our faith. And Prabhupada said that's one criticism I have about my followers is they don't read my books enough. And I'm guilty of that myself. Criticism applies to me. But by reading these books regularly, the effect of reading these books is that it immediately deepens our faith. I can feel that when I read Prabhupada's books. But when I'm reading these Prabhupada's books, faith becomes stronger, and then one naturally becomes enthusiastic to render some service. By the reading of these books, because Prabhupada's books are so powerful. They're full of bhakti. Prabhupada's purports are his deep realizations. Like the Srimad Bhagavatam is the mature fruit of the Vedic literature, right? The Srimad Bhagavatam is the mature realization of Shukdev Goswami. And of Vyasadeva as well, because Vyasadeva, he wrote the Vedanta Sutra, and Srimad Bhagavatam is the realization of the mature fruit of the entire Vedic literature. That's Vyasadeva's realization. So similarly, the Bhaktivedanta purports are Prabhupada's mature realizations which he has put in there. And by reading the realizations of an acharya, of a mahatma, then that makes us excited and enthusiastic in Krishna consciousness to render some service. It's very, very practical and it is immediate. So if you're not committing offenses, then when we read these books, they make one more or less fired up. So if we stick to the process of reading the books every day, nitya seva, then we will be enthusiastic to render some service. There is no doubt about it. And then one will seek out some service naturally, according to one's propensity. One will naturally seek out some service, what one is willing to do. And in the ISKCON movement, that's the beauty of an International Society for Krishna Consciousness. The scope of preaching is so broad that one can plug in their propensities. So it doesn't matter what propensity, what psychophysical nature you have or what you like doing, you will find some avenue to plug yourself into in ISKCON. Here or there you'll find some opportunity to find some service to plug yourself into, because it's very wide. The scope of the preaching field is very wide. So by hearing the Vani, we get access to the Vapu. So by hearing the Vani of Prabhupada, that will give us access to the Vapu of Bhagavan. So both are very important. The Vapu of a Mahatma or the devotees is important, and that will be there for some time. It's not eternal. It is manifest for some time. And by associating with the Vapu, one develops attraction and enthusiasm for hearing the Vani and serving the mission. And then by hearing the Vani and by serving the Vani, that leads to attainment of the goal of life. And then when one has attained the goal of life, they will see Krishna face to face and attain the Vapu of the Supreme Lord by the Vani. So towards the end of this purport, Srila Prabhupada, he quotes Chaitanya Charitamrita and warns us not to associate with materialistic persons. He says, Asat Santya, E Vaishnavachar, Sri Sangi Eka Asadhu, Krishna, Akrishna Bhakta R. So to remain on the path of bhakti, or to remain unattached to the modes of nature, one has to avoid the association of those who are asat or materialistic. So we are surrounded by people who are materialistic. Maybe not here. But certainly around this premises, we are surrounded. We are just, maybe, you know, the temple is 1 acre in this big suburb, or this little suburb, and it's full of materialistic people, and this city is full of materialistic people. And so if maybe those of you who are fully engaged in Krishna consciousness don't have this problem, or who are not associating so much with those who are materialistic, but those who are, or those who hold a job or trying to make a living, are certainly associating, spending a lot of time associating with those who are asat, who take the goal of life as the gratification of their senses. Mm-hmm. So we spend a lot of time hanging out with them. And their goal in life is, as it is mentioned here, they are only interested in women and sex. That's what it boils down to. At the end of the day, that's what it boils down to. So even the politicians, it came in the news, the Attorney General, he was acting inappropriately with some of his staffers and he made certain comments. So it's all about women and sex. Everyone is, the materialistic tendency when we have a body is to be attracted to the opposite gender. And those who are women, they might be thinking, how is this of relevance to them, those who are women? So those who are women, they are also attracted in lusty activities, and that manifests in the form of a home, family, children, so on and so forth. And in this way, one is entangled in the complexity of materialistic affairs. And that situation is compared to a deep dark well. Because when one falls in a well, there's not so many, I haven't come across many open wells here, or anywhere here. But in India, in villages, you come across wills. And some of them are, they don't have a good boundary. You can fall into them, or the boundary is not high enough. And those wells are generally quite deep because they have, the water is quite deep in the ground, so they have to dig a fair bit. So if one falls into a well, and if you're in an isolated area, it's one can be stuck there and no one will hear one's pleas for help. So in the same way, the materialistic household life is compared to a deep, dark well, because one is, no one can hear you. You might be pleading for relief from suffering, but no one can. It's like you're in your home, in your nice big home or small home, but you're stuck in that environment and in that rut, daily rut, and that is like a well. One cannot get out of it. So it's very difficult to come out of that situation of entanglement of family, society, friends. Like for most people, they're working and then the weekend comes, taking kids for swimming or this and that, and then seeing their friends, going for barbecues, and then during the week they are engaged in their work and then having some drinks maybe after work, and maybe some pleasure at night, and then do the whole thing again. So they're stuck in that cycle, and it's very difficult to come out of it unless they're fortunate to get the association of devotees. So when they get the association of devotees, there is some hope of coming out of it. Not easy, but there is some hope if they associate with devotees. And that's what these preaching centers are for, and the Namahattas or the Bhakti Rikshas are to give that association to materialistic asat people, so they can regularly come to these events and develop a taste for Krishna consciousness, by which they will be able to come out of that rut of the deep dark well, and will be able to see light when they come out of that well. So So the whole process is to associate with the Mahatmas. When we associate with the Mahatmas, we will come to the path of liberation, and we can attain the goal of Krishna consciousness. So with that, I'll leave it there. Any questions or comments on what we discussed today? Yes, Prabhupada.
You mentioned that we shouldn't discuss the intimate pastimes of Krishna publicly, or with rank and file. Why do you think that is?
Okay, so one of the offenses to the holy name is to preach to the faithless. So those who are asat, their faith in Krishna consciousness is very weak. They might, some people might have some faith, but their faith is very weak, very low. And then there are others who might have no faith at all. Because when we are preaching, when we are talking in an open forum or to the rank and file, as you explained, there can be different types of people in that audience. Earlier I spoke about a Madhyam Adhikari can discern amongst the four types of people. And one of them is those who are envious of Krishna, and those who are blasphemers. So they might be present in that audience as well, on that forum. So you'll have those who have some faith, those who have no faith, then those who are offenders. Everyone is there. So one's message that messaging or that narrative has to be very has to cater for everyone, and that's why in that environment it is suggested that one preach on a general level, or even if one wants to say it. Also, a lot depends on how one presents the philosophy. So, like Prabhupada, one could make the point, why did Prabhupada write the Krishna book? And he even said, distribute the Krishna book widely. In the Krishna book has a lot of intimate affairs of the Supreme Lord. And that book has been distributed very widely. So one might think that Prabhupada is contradicting himself, or he's committing an offense. But no, he's not, because the way Prabhupada has packaged the philosophy is packaged in such a way that he has intertwined those leelas with the tattva, and in such a way that even someone who's a neophyte can pick that up and not make offenses, and one who is advanced can also pick that up and go to a higher level. So that's why one should avoid discussing very intimate affairs in such a setting.
What about even himself as a group of sadhikas?
Sorry?
Sadhikas.
Yeah, what about that?
They're also recommended not to
study. Correct.
And yet we'll see.
Good point.
Individuals will preach or encourage members of this come to take classes, which are topics that are quite intimate. That's not encouraged either.
Yeah, that's right. And during Prabhupada's time, thanks for bringing that point up. It's a good point. During Prabhupada's time, there was the Gopi Bhava Club, who were diving into the Rasa Leela.
Yeah.
So, and Prabhupada was very upset because they did not have the adhikar to discuss that. And so these affairs of Krishna, they are spiritual, and they can cure the, like Prabhupada even says, they can cure the lust. But one has to be at that, one has to have the adhikar, or to be at that level where it will cure, not make you lusty. Right?
Yeah. There's another danger. A real danger. What happens is that the devotees study highly elevated literature, then they think they're also that elevated.
Yeah. Right?
And yet, their realization doesn't match their
learning. Yeah.
It's somewhat theoretical.
Yeah, that's right.
And then they start to imitate or, you know, promote themselves as being more advanced than they really are.
Yeah, and these days there's so much advanced literature widely available than it was available, say, 30 years ago or 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And like we have the anyway, there are various advanced literatures available, but one should not read those unless one is qualified, unless one has sufficiently read Prabhupada's books, and is also advanced to a degree to read them, not just to read them, but also practicing those books and highly proficient in them. There's so much to read here; it will take years and years. And one should maybe get some blessings from some senior Vaishnavas. In other words, one should be endorsed to read them, right?
So, really, you know, we followers of Prabhupada, we should understand Prabhupada's mood and his purpose in his mission. And you don't find Prabhupada talking about the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam practically anywhere. Right? And Prabhupada himself says, Lord Chaitanya didn't do that. In his public and presentations to the devotees, he would speak basic Bhagavatam philosophy. And he would discuss intimate topics with Ramananda Roy or Dakshirup Damodara, Sikhi Mahiti, and Sikhi Mahiti's sister, Elizabeth. This is deep, with very advanced abilities. But for the general populace, and Prabhupada was like that. You can see in his presentations, it was basically Bhagavad Gita.
Yeah.
Or, fairly simple presentations of Krishna Lila if and when required, but not often actually. Prabhupada's philosophy was quite, in public, pretty standard stuff.
Yeah, because we're struggling to do even that. We're struggling to do that also.
And then Prabhupada encouraged us basically go out and, if you want to make advancement, go and preach. And it's very interesting because there's a contrast between what he was doing and what went on in the Gaudiya Mutt with his godbrothers. And it's quite a bit. They're discussing very intimately Ashtaka, Leela, and there were even discussions about what personalities they were in that spiritual world in relationship with Krishna. Prabhupada didn't talk about it. But rather emphasized, for his followers, go out and preach. Then you discover how advanced you are. there are other people that are surrendering to you. you're out preaching. They'll be saying, get lost, go get a job. And so, very humbling. But what we see sometimes is devotees read, study, and then they start thinking they're really advanced. And this is what Prabhupada didn't want in his followers. So a very important point. Even if you are really advanced, and this Prabhupada didn't talk about it, so what does that mean? Well, I wasn't very advanced. This is what sometimes people say, because his godbrothers and others will talk about these very elevated topics. The Prabhupada emphasized, Lord Chaitanya didn't do it. You see how faithful Srila Prabhupada was or is to the tradition and following Lord Chaitanya. It's interesting, I guess. I don't know whether it's related, but the devotees were going to Puri every year to see Lord Chaitanya. And then one year, Lord Chaitanya was having very deep conversations with Lord Nityananda. And he told them, don't come next year. Stay and preach. Stay and preach. This is more important work than coming to associate with me and hearing Krishna Guitar. Which must have been a shock for the devotees. They were looking forward every year going to see Lord Chaitanya for the Chaturmasi. Lord Chaitanya said, don't come next year. down the village. And that really was Prabhupada's focus. And that's what Chaitanya's external mission is, to preach. What, and yet, from that must come the internal realizations. Right? Must. Because Chaitanya Krishna, you're serving the order of the spiritual master, and you're giving basic, you know, you're giving the basics to people. And then from that will come deep realization. That's what Prabhupada encouraged his disciples to do. So that's very interesting. And of course, somebody pointed it out to me this week. You know, that one of the dangers of reading very advanced topics is you think you're also on that. Right? And then what happens? What happens after that?
You fall down.
Commit offences, fall down. You commit offences. Well, if you're committing offence, guru or other, you're not following the order of the spiritual master.
Thank you.
Because we see it happening in this one, there's this tendency to listen to this one, listen to that one. And they're not actually following Prabhupada. They don't understand Prabhupada's mood. And so they're talking about this and that and the other thing. That's not like, what?
Thank you. Important point.
Step on the head of Prabhupada. Careful.
Yeah, the goal is not to be Bhagavad reciter, to be so learned and attractive. So the goal is not to be a Bhagavad reciter, to be so learned and speak Vasani. It's about serving the mission, as you say.
Well, in one sense it is. Because when you go out, when we go out on the street and say to student books, what are we doing? We're talking, we're preaching, you know. But what we say and how we say it, in order to convince people. And you know, we have a situation where we're promoting or encouraging people who don't know the Guru Vandana or the Guru Vashtika. But yeah, listen to this and listen to that and listen to the other thing, and it's just gonna go shit,
Thank you.
There's another thing you mentioned too. Which was interesting.
Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you for your attendance. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.